fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. World football's governing body, FIFA, will hold its annual award ceremony on Monday in London. The big prize to be presented in the British capital is the best FIFA men's player trophy. Now, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo have dominated this award over the past decade, with each winning five times. Ronaldo has won it the past 2 years. But there's more than a few football analysts who say he could be toppled in 2018 by the Croatian Luka Modric. The other finalist for the award is Liverpool and Egyptian star Mohamed Salah. Ahead of the FIFA awards ceremony, Ronaldo suffered a lowlight in Valencia, Spain. In his first UEFA Champions League match with Juventus, the Portuguese superstar was sent off in the first half after tussling with Valencia's Jason Murillo. Ronaldo received a red card after appearing to tug at the defender's hair. It was his first red card in 154 Champions League matches, and Ronaldo left the pitch in tears. Playing with 10 men, Juventus took the lead on the stroke of halftime when Miralem Pjanic scored from the penalty spot. Shortly after the break, the Bosnian midfielder scored on another spot kick. Final score from Valencia, Spain. Juventus 2, Valencia 0. Meanwhile, Cristiano Ronaldo should learn next week whether he's banned from playing at former club Manchester United in the Champions League. UEFA says its disciplinary panel will judge the case of Ronaldo's first Champions League red card on September 27th. The UEFA panel studies all red card cases and has the power to extend the mandatory one-game ban. Ronaldo will miss a home game against the Swiss club Young Boys on October 2nd. The subsequent match for Juventus is on October 23rd at Old Trafford, where Ronaldo played for 6 years. He won the first of his five Champions League titles while with Man U in 2008. In Wednesday's other UEFA Champions League results, Manchester United cruised to a 3-0 victory over the Young Boys in Switzerland. French star Paul Pogba scored twice for Man U, and Anthony Martial had the third goal. Three-time defending champion Real Madrid scored a 3-0 victory over visiting Roma. Isco, Bale, and Mariano had the goals for the Spanish powerhouse. Ajax Amsterdam was a 3-0 winner over visiting AEK Athens of Greece. In other Champions League results, Shakhtar Donetsk and Hoffenheim drew 2-2. Bayern Munich scored a 2-0 road victory over Benfica. The French club Lyon scored a 2-1 road victory over Manchester City, the reigning Premier League champions. And Viktoria Plzeň played to a 2-2 draw with visiting CSKA Moscow. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more football news, FIFA has warned Sierra Leone it risks an international ban following the decision to overturn the leadership of the Football Association. On Tuesday, Sierra Leone's Anti-Corruption Commission seized control of the FA offices and forced President Isha Johansson to step down over allegations of match-fixing involving the national team. In a letter to Sierra Leone's Football Association, FIFA said it requested a detailed report on the current situation by Monday, September 24th. Francis Ben Kaifala is the chairman of Sierra Leone's Anti-Corruption Commission. In a telephone interview with my VOA colleague, James Buddy, he talked about the charges against Johansson and the possibility of a FIFA ban.
Before I became commissioner, she was charged with 8 counts, charges of corruption by the Anti-Corruption Commission. And there is a provision in the Anti-Corruption Act, Section 134 of the Anti-Corruption Act, which says when a person is charged with corruption, that person should be suspended from office and should be receiving half the pending the trial. What happened in her case is that she didn't step aside since she was indicted in October. So after I took over, I reviewed the situation and found out that it wasn't good for the fight against corruption. For somebody to be standing trial for corruption and the person continues in office as president of the Australian Football Association. So the commission gave her 7 days notice for her to vacate office and hand over to her deputy. After the 7 days, we moved in and cordoned off the office and ensured that there was that enforcement of that law.
She was charged with corruption. Does the corruption have to do with the Football Association or Sierra Leone government matters?
Yes. It concerned Sierra Leone Football Association money, but under the Anti-Corruption Act, when you receive money on behalf of a section of the people of Sierra Leone, or generally for the people of Sierra Leone, it will be considered as if it is government money and the Anti-Corruption Commission has jurisdiction over you. So the SLFA, the Sierra Leone Football Association, which was established by an act of parliament, which receives money from the government of Sierra Leone, which also receives money on behalf of a section of Sierra Leone for football in the country, is definitely under our mandate and is covered by this provision of the law.
Sierra Leone faced the prospect of a ban from international competition by FIFA. What do you say to that?
If FIFA goes ahead and bans Sierra Leone because we are trying to enforce fairly and effectively the law of our country, which means that no one person should be above the law, then FIFA is engaging in serious double standards, and it is by itself doing what should not be done, because corruption should not be encouraged by FIFA. If somebody is charged with corruption and the law says this should be the consequence of that, FIFA should allow that to happen, because it is different, for example, if we were going there to say, no, this person should not be president, it is this person should be president. That would have been a clear interference. That would have been an interference. But in this situation, it is what the law says that is being enforced by an independent commission, not the government of Sierra Leone. It is not an interference into football. Football will play. The vice president of the Sierra Leone Football Association is an official of the association. In the absence of the president, the vice president steps in. So we are not even going there to say, no, the vice president should not be the president of FIFA. We are saying, by law, the president who has been charged and the secretary general who have been charged should not continue in office. If FIFA comes to us to say they are going to ban Sierra Leone because of that, that would be a clear case of double standards. What about their own government in Zurich? Did the Americans not get involved for people to be arrested and charged with corruption? So because we are a small country, we cannot take decisions as to what our law says and enforce them.
That's Francis Ben Kaifala, the chairman of Sierra Leone's Anti-Corruption Commission. He spoke with VOA's James Buddy from Ghana's capital, Accra. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is James Butty, managing editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, VOA's Gwen Uden joins us now with an update on the Laver Cup men's team tournament, which begins Friday in Chicago. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Wednesday's show, I mentioned American Francis Tiafoe has replaced Argentine Juan Martín del Potro in the upcoming Laver Cup tournament. Well, also on Wednesday, members of Team World and Team Europe converged in Chicago and sat down for a mini media conference. Wimbledon and U.S. Open champion Novak Djokovic arrived looking fresh and relaxed, and he told reporters he's eager to make his debut at an event where on-court rivals play on the same side of the net.
This event was very unique in many ways, and obviously it's my debut this year, but I was watching it on the TV last year, and it was very exciting, you know, to see a new concept, to see, you know, many of the guys that shared rivalries throughout their careers, like Roger and Rafa, for example, you know, played on the same side of the court, supported each other. It's a great team spirit. That's what something that, you know, we're missing a little bit, because we play mostly for ourselves and our, you know, our team, but, you know, it's mostly individual tournaments, so... You know, aside of this, Davis Cup is the only, you know, team competition that really, so to say, counts and historically. So, you know, it's great to see, you know, a concept like this and this format working well. And, you know, I obviously wanted to be a part of it and have this great experience.
Teammate Roger Federer said he's happy to be playing alongside Novak Djokovic, but he seemed a bit concerned about his team's upcoming doubles matches.
I mean, I would like to play with Novak. I hope he feels the same way. But we're figuring it out as we speak, I think, internally, like what are the best teams, because we have a lot of singles guys on the team. Last year also Rafa, he did play more doubles than us sometimes in the past. I haven't played doubles since last year, so I'm firing. I won my match last year, so I feel like I'm really confident from that match still. But no, all kidding aside, we will be practicing our doubles this afternoon, John, in case you want to come watch that, because
is that okay? Yeah, I'd like to.
No, I mean
what time?
It's I think from 4 to 5.
Perfect.
Yeah. So we're doing that. No, I'm not kidding. The doubles is going to be really crucial, as we saw last year. And I think they are, unfortunately, the favorites for all three matches in the doubles. And this is where we have to come up with a couple of super teams ourselves. And having Novak on the team with his momentum winning the U.S. Open for singles is key. I think down the stretch, maybe, but also in doubles, it's going to help.
That was Team World captain John McEnroe interjecting there, an obvious fan of all the athletes and of the tournament itself. One of McEnroe's players is South African Kevin Anderson. The world number 9 makes his debut at the Laver Cup as the highest ranked member on Team World. And he says he welcomes the camaraderie of the tournament.
Yeah, of course, it's different. You know, we're sort of echoing the same words. We spend the whole year competing against each other. You know, we do have the Davis Cup where we, you know, spending time with people from our own countries. But, you know, this is a little bit different. It's, you know, just a bit more global. You know, guys from, you know, not necessarily your own country. You know, instance, myself and John, this would be the only time we're going to get to compete, you know, with each other instead of against each other. So I think that's a pretty, you know, great opportunity.
And Anderson received some words of warning from Roger Federer about his fiery team captain, John McEnroe.
You have a lot of pressure with John in the chair. Last year, he was extremely aggressive, you know, to some of the players, like he was really firing them up. So I hope you can handle that, because Bjorn is very relaxed and mellow. So we know what we're getting into.
Bjorn Borg was captain for Team Europe in last year's inaugural Laver Cup. His team claimed the title after Federer defeated Nick Kyrgios in the final match. On Wednesday, a relaxed and mellow Bjorn Borg spoke about the importance of being part of the tournament.
For me, it's an unbelievable, it's a pleasure and exciting. This year, the most important week for me is this week, personally, because spending time and being among the best players in the world, it's a great thing. Or I believe that this event, Laver Cup, will stay forever. It's a huge thing. Everybody enjoyed it. It's going to be for many more years to come.
Borg will captain Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, David Goffin, Gregor Dimitrov, Alexander Zverev, and Kyle Edmund for Team Europe. Team World, captained by John McEnroe, includes Kevin Anderson, Nick Kyrgios, Francis Tiafoe, John Isner, Diego Schwartzman, and Jack Sock. The 2 6-man squads will play in 3 singles matches and 1 doubles match each day of the 3-day competition. The tournament is is named after Australian tennis great Rod Laver and is the newest team event on the international tennis calendar. The tournament was a huge hit with fans at last year's competition in Prague. Tickets are selling fast in Chicago, and it's been announced that the 2019 Laver Cup will be played in Geneva, Switzerland, the home country of Roger Federer. Over the summer, Laver Cup organizers announced plans to stage the event again in 2020 and every year going forward. This year's Laver Cup begins on Friday and concludes on Sunday. And that's all from me for now. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of golf and other sports news is my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And Jim tees off with this Chinese golfer.
It's very, very special for Chinese player play European Tour here, and it's a great tour, and I love to play here and have a good win three times here, and yeah, it's very, very special.
Chinese golfer Wu Ashun finished ahead of the pack to win the KLM Open in the Netherlands. Wu's consistent play, with five straight pars to close out the final round, equaled the consistent support he had from his family and fans.
Oh, I was so happy right now, and very, very exciting. Still very exciting right now, and unbelievable. And I was thanks my Katie to wish me this week, and thanks my wife, and thank a lot of people to be here to support me. So as I have a good week this week, and I love to win a KLM Open here, so yeah, I feel it was very good.
Wu had the tournament lead after two rounds and knew it would be tough for him to keep it the rest of the way.
I was starting very, very good and finished two rounds, 13 under, and leading three shots. So it's tough to leading all the time, you know. So, and Saturday was so my score, and I think finished Thursday, and then I tell my Katie, well, I have a good chance. I feel very good right now, and I think we did it. We win it, yeah.
Wu fell behind English challenger Chris Wood by one shot in the third round, but rallied to finish at 16 under par, one shot ahead of a disappointed Wood.
Yeah, just hung in there really all day. A couple of bad shots, which, you know, wasn't, apart from two tee shots, I didn't really miss a shot today. Couldn't really expect too much more given sort of the changes I'm making, but it's hard to take at the minute, yeah.
Wood stuck to his game plan.
I was just trying to hold it. That was all I had in my head, to hold that putt on the last, and putting's been so good all week. You know, it's just such a shame that, you know, the pace of the putt let me down on the last, but I didn't want to go back to the 18th tee. I wanted to hold it, and I really felt I could, and yeah, it's obviously when you miss the second one, that's when it hurts. But, I wasn't going to be somebody who left it 6 foot short.
In the end, Wood knew so many players had a chance to win.
When you get a chance, you know, to win, you want to take it. It was so bunched heading into today. You know, you're the one with the one shot lead. It's nothing really. You know, when there's 10 guys within three or four shots, especially around here, there's lots of chances. So, it's just hard.
Wu is now the most decorated Chinese golfer on the European Tour with three victories. Wu and Wood have made the relatively short trip to Portugal to play in the Portugal Masters, where Lucas Bjerregaard of Denmark will defend his title, also his first on the European Tour.
I have fond memories, not just from last year, but the years prior to that. I've always loved coming here, and same with my family. We've my girlfriend's been here every year that I've been on tour, and we enjoy coming here, and it's no different this year.
Matt Wallace of England also claimed his first ever victory in Portugal.
Great to be back here in Portugal. Love this golf course. Done a bit of practice in the off seasons over the years around here as well. So I feel comfortable on the golf course. I think it sets up great for the way I play. Drive it good, and then you get a lot of chances.
And his friendly rival Torbjørn Olesen of Denmark will be enjoying a course he knows well.
It's a course that we know very well. I played a lot, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Beautiful weather, nice city. Hopefully I can be ready and have a good week.
The National Hockey League's Boston Bruins take on the Calgary Flames in two exhibition games in China. The first this past Saturday in Shenzhen and the other a few days later in Beijing. This is the second year the NHL has played in China. Last year, the Los Angeles Kings took on the Vancouver Canucks. The games take place as China prepares to host the 2022 Winter Olympic Games. The Bruins have been involved in stoking interest in ice hockey in China since 2015. The team, having signed a five-year agreement with Beijing-based ORG Packaging, first visited the mainland in 2016, where Chinese children were able to participate in hockey clinics. Gregory Smith is the CEO of the China Hockey Group in Hong Kong and talks about the level of interest in the sport in China.
We've definitely seen an uptick in interest. This past week within Hong Kong, we've had the Stanley Cup at several events, and that's been wildly successful. So the interest is definitely growing. The NHL's been able to build on the initial China games from last year with LA and Vancouver.
Boston's long interest in China has included hosting Chinese youth hockey players from the Beijing Hockey Association.
Boston's been heavily involved in Beijing, so they've been doing youth camps and have been, I would say, one of the more active NHL teams in developing hockey in China.
As for the National Hockey League, Smith says the push into the Chinese market is larger.
The NHL is taking much bigger steps over the last couple of years in developing ice hockey in China. I think with the China Games, it's their next step in building infrastructure and the hockey culture in China. And part of that initiative over the next 8 years, I believe, is to have six sets of games in China. And obviously that kicked off last year with LA and Vancouver, and this year it's Boston and Calgary. That's the rollout plans. Yeah, the NHL is I would say, picking up their game over the last couple of years and really making a strong effort to grow the game within China.
As the Olympics loom, Smith says ice hockey infrastructure is going in at a fast pace.
It's being pushed fairly heavily by the Chinese government. The Beijing Olympics are upcoming in 2022. I would say the government has made it a priority to be competitive in winter sports. And rinks are being built in various locations. They seem to be popping up in all sorts of different cities. So that's a good sign. I'd say the interest is quite strong. It's a sport that the Chinese think they can become competitive over time. You know, that's kind of the right mix to develop the sport.
And what about China's presence on the Olympic ice?
Yes, I think as part of the host nation structure, they will be fielding a team. The push right now is to make sure they've got a competitive team. So a lot of Chinese heritage players are being recruited from North America to play on the national team. I know the national team has had games with some of the touring NCAA Ivy League schools recently, as well as playing some games in Toronto. So it's all very positive.
The International Ice Hockey Federation decided this year that China, as host of the 2022 Games, will not have to go through a qualification process to field men's and women's teams. China opened a training camp for the Olympics in March, made up of 30 domestic and ethnic Chinese players. For the Boston Bruins, their trip to China hasn't been the smoothest. Their equipment was stopped at Chinese customs on arrival after a 16-hour flight from the United States, which prevented them from skating in their first on-ice workout. Their second pregame workout in Beijing was delayed by several hours, as the equipment had to make a long journey by truck from Shenzhen.
Thanks for that spicy sports package, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Finally, World Heavyweight Boxing Champion Anthony Joshua says he expects a tough title defense on Saturday when he fights Russia's Alexander Povetkin at Wembley Stadium in London. The unbeaten Joshua is going for his 22nd consecutive victory. His opponent, Povetkin, has 34 wins and one loss. That defeat was to former world heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko in 2013. And that wraps up the September 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA.